Bless him. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 217, stanzas 1 through 4. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 1 through 4 of Psalter 217.
The portion of God's word that we wish to read together, you can find recorded in the book of Psalms and there of Psalm 116. But before that, we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 116. I loved the Lord because he had heard my voice and my supplications, because he had inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifices of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, eternal, all-knowing God of the heavens and of the earth, then it is in the way of thy good providence that thou still unto us and our children does allow thy word to go forth in this day, though we are not able to gather as we would gather in thy house together as a congregation. But thou knowest what we deserve. Then thou dost take thy candlestick often from one place unto another, and then it returneth not thither again. And that is also what we deserve, Because thou knowest that we have hearts that are so inclined unto the things of time and sense, unto the world and unto sin. And yet thou dost still give us to hear. Wilt thou look upon us in this hour when we are together in this way, and give thy word that place that we cannot give it, and that thou wouldst give us hearing ears, understanding hearts, and that there may be a yearning in our hearts for that food and drink that thou givest unto thy people. For we have heard it out of the mouth of thy servant of old, I love the Lord. For he hath heard my cry, he hath heard my supplication. Oh, I will call upon the name of the Lord as long as I live. Oh, thou puttest it, Lord, in the hearts of each and every one of thy own dear children. From that moment of that new birth, the love of thee born in their hearts, a drawing by thy Spirit that is so often asked by thy church, draw me, we will run after thee. Oh, that there may be many such young and old together who cannot do without the spiritual blessings that thou showerest upon thy people, that have a holy jealousy living in the bottom of their hearts for the portion with which thou dost favor them. Oh, then they fear so often that they will be left on the outside, and they see so much of the wretchedness and the sin and the guilt and the corruption, the pollution that lives within their own heart, so that they have to loathe themselves when they see that it is from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. Oh, then they have to cry out, oh, remember not, O God, the sins of long ago, but also the sins of this day. Oh, thou knowest where they are, Lord. Thou knowest the secret places where they bend their knees to thee. Thou knowest when they even have no cry anymore, when it seems like it is all dried up and a thing of yesterday, that they are not able anymore even to draw near unto that blessed throne of grace which thou hadst favored unto them in times gone by. Then they long to go with the multitude unto the house of the Lord. Then they desire the former years where thou wast so near unto them, and when every time that they heard thy word, oh, then it seemed like there was a blessing from the storehouses of Joseph, where they did eat and where they did drink, where their poor soul was satisfied. But indeed they have come into the dry wilderness, there to experience the rebellion that can live within their hearts. Oh, then they have to experience and that they are in and of themselves the same, that there is nothing good in them. Oh, Lord, then it is so necessary that thou wouldst come again from thy own side, and that thou wouldst open unto thy people that blessed foundation in which their soul may rejoice. For thou hast given thyself even unto death, the death of the cross, so that all their guilt is covered o'er, and all that curse is taken away. Oh, then they need eyes to behold it, Lord. Then they need to feel the power for they cannot take it from their own side, except that thou dost apply it unto their hearts in a personal way. And then the time is short, and then we see all about us that this world is going to its end. Oh, then it is so necessary that thy children may cry to thee, and that there may be mercy also amongst our children, our congregation, all those in our denomination, the people that surround us. Oh, Lord, could it please thee to work with might and with power that which we are not able to do. For we can speak unto the ear, but we cannot even bring it into the mind, and never mind to bring it into the soul of a man, and that is as hard as the nether millstone. O Lord, could it please thee to do it for thy name's sake? We read of thy servant. He said, the sorrows of death compassed me. O Lord, thou knowest those that indeed have the sorrows of death compassing them. We ask thee, Lord, that thou mayest remember that father of some in our midst who has been diagnosed with that serious disease. O Lord, then the sorrows of death, indeed they will compass him in this time. The doctors, they give no hope, but Lord, that his hope may be in thee. For the things of the time, if it could be possible yet, and that thy sparing hand of mercy and may be over him, and that thou mayest look upon him in the need of the body, but that thou mayest give him especially a place by thee, and that family together to cry on his behalf, that there may be a righteous one among them. For thou dost say that the prayer, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, that it may be that prayer of thy dear son and the other father, that old man, and thou knowest also his condition. Lord, remember him also in the climbing of his years, in the need of the body, with his wife and his loved ones together, and all those that are in danger of serious sickness and of death. Thou knowest whatever the cause may be. Also, the disease that rages within our community at this time. Oh, could it please thee, Lord, where others have been taken away, that thou mayest yet spare us as a people, as a congregation, and that thou wouldest not deal with us as our many sins deserve, and that thou mayest remember all those that mourn the losses of their loved ones. For man is a miserable comforter, but it was also thee who must cry out more than any man, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. All what thou hast done for the sake of thy church, oh, that we may be given in all our afflictions, trials, and tribulations, be given to look upon thee, that dear and blessed Savior of thy church, and that we might desire that that work may be applied to us in a personal way. Wilt thou care for all the afflicted? Look upon our children and our youth in all the circumstances of our time. Remember the parents in all the needs and the cares, the teachers of the school, in the way the instruction must be done at this time. Lord, that thou may help in all these circumstances. Oh, give us together patience, Lord. And give us instruction out of thy word of truth. And give us the way of true humility. And wilt thou forgive all of our many, many sins. And do gather with us in thy mercy in this hour. And wilt thou give the children, especially at home, and what is necessary to sit quietly for a little while, and that they may receive also a little blessing, and that we together may feel undeservedly and the presence and the nearness of thee, and the King of thy church, and the priest also, and for all those who are guilty, and a prophet for those who are ignorant. For we have heard it also in these moments, that thou dost give it unto the simple ones. And wilt thou be a king, Lord, unto those who know not how to rule the government, the church, their own home, and their own heart. Do forgive, keep us this hour, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 342, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Instructed in thy holy law, to praise thy word, I lift my voice. O Lord, be thou my present help, for thy commandments are my choice. 2, 3, and 4. Of Psalter 342. Beloved congregation, we are not certain who is the author of this psalm, Psalm 116. Some say that it is the psalmist David. Others say that it was written after the captivity. That is actually not so very important. And why not? Because God is Himself the author. Because it has been written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. In the second place, it does not matter so much because the church of God is one, which means that that church speaks one language. And when we may hear it from the one, then it is also heard the same from the other. Do we also speak that same language of that church of God? Can you find what is living in your heart also written in the Psalms of the Lord? Many of our church fathers believe that this psalm speaks actually about the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He is the one who is leading His church in all of those ways in which that people may magnify and glorify His name. They are ways in which He has gone before, in which He has gone first, and that they may magnify Him, especially when they may be given to know that they follow in His ways, not only in the way of trial and tribulation, but also in the way of deliverance. And therefore, we wish to consider with you a portion out of this psalm in this afternoon, which you can find in the 16th verse, Psalm 116, verse 16, the last part. Thou hast loosed my bonds. So far, the words of our text. Bonds loosed. First, we want to consider the bonds. And second, the loosening of those bonds. Bonds loosed. First, the bonds. Second, the loosening of those bonds. Thou hast loosed my bonds. What are bonds? Sometimes the word is translated bands. Boys and girls, if there is a prisoner, a person who has done wrong, done sinful things, then it is necessary that they are arrested by the police. And then the police, they have bonds. Then they have certain kind of, well, we say handcuffs. They had in the past some kind of straps or some kind of ropes or some kind of chains, and that they will bind a person who is disobedient. Sometimes that is done to a criminal. Sometimes that is done unto wicked persons. When we think about wicked Manasseh, and we can read in the Bible that that wicked king was bound and put in the prison. And the wicked Zedekiah, he was also bound and carried away into prison. But children, you have also read, and your mother and father, they have read it to you, about a young man who didn't do anything wrong. And that young man's name was Joseph. And his brothers hated him. And then they sold him. They They sold him as a slave. They sold him as a captive. And then he was bound. And then he had ropes put on him as so that he could not get away. He did not do anything wrong. We can read in the Bible about John the Baptist. He also did not do anything wrong. But he was bound, we read, and he was put into the prison. Paul, he also knew what bonds were. He said, I am an ambassador in bonds. He was a servant of the Lord. And as a servant of the Lord, then he also was bound. In that way, they have followed their master. Because their master, the Lord Jesus Christ, we heard that only lately, that they also bound him. He was bound by his enemies, who can fathom how deeply that the Son of Man hath humbled himself in order that he may deliver his church. Thou hast loosed my bonds. To be bound means that our freedom is taken away. To be bound means that we are not allowed to do what we want to do. No, that we are forced to do and to go to those places where others will bring us. So that was with the children of Israel. They were made bondmen. They were made bondwomen in Egypt. Then they could not do what they wished to do. No, they had to do the will of Pharaoh. That whatever Pharaoh has said was their work, they had to fulfill. That place, we read in God's word, that is called the house of bondage. The house of bondage. And that is a representation of man in his natural state, in a house of bondage. Do we ever feel to be in such a bondage? Later on, the children of Israel were carried away into the land of Babylon. There, once again, they come into bondage. They're their enemies. They have dominion over them, so that they are not able to fulfill their own will. And now, out of such a bondage, no man is able to deliver himself. Will you think about that, children? When the policeman would put on handcuffs on you, and you cannot get out. No. Then you can try, but those handcuffs, they remain. Thus, captivity or bondage, that is speaking about a state of a person which is helpless. Someone who has no power to deliver themselves and to come out of it. Solomon beheld the tears of such as were oppressed. And on the side of their oppressors, he said there was power. And there was no one that was able to help them. They had no comfort. That means they were helpless against all of the power of the bonds. Could Jeremiah come out of the pit when he sunk in the mire? Or if there was no one to help him, if there was no deliverer, then Jeremiah cannot get out. That is now the state, that is the condition of everyone that is truly in bondage. Thou hast loosed my bonds. The Apostle Paul, in another place, speaks about the snare of the devil. That people, they are taken captive by him at his will. They are taken captive. In the contakening, then that word that means to be taken alive, that's what a captive is. He is a prisoner. He is taken alive. So just as a beast, he comes into a snare, he comes into a net, then he is not slain, no, but he is taken alive. And Satan, the contakening says, that is using him to do his will. That is the just judgment of the Lord. He is taken up, it says, in ignorance, in error, in heresies. Satan holds them in a snare. That is an awful judgment. We know when the Lord Jesus was on the earth, that persons in that time, they were actually possessed. The Lord permitted it. And Satan has taken over that person in a very special way, so that all of his faculties were under the power of that prince of darkness. And so that their speech and their actions, they were direct instruments of the devil himself. And when that person was speaking, "I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God," then it was Satan actually that was speaking through that person. In our deep fall, man has brought himself into bondage. He has brought himself into that bondage through or by means of a snare. Yes, indeed, it was by the snare of the devil. As Solomon says, as fishes are taken in an evil net. And yet there is a great difference. Why is that? Children, once again, if you have ever gone fishing and you caught a fish in that net, then what was that fish doing? Was that fish just lying there? Was that fish just passive? Did that fish, as it were, just, well, he will give himself into your hands as a captive that he may be obedient to you? Say, no. No, what is that fish doing? It is obeying that law of self-preservation that is in the animals as well as it is in humankind. Then that fish is thrashing. Then if you would grab it with your hands, boys and girls, you cannot hold on to it, because it is so slippery, and then it will get away, and it wants to go back into that place, once again into the water. Thus, that fish, or a bird, or a beast. And now that is exactly the way that Christianity in general, in the world, in our days, is looking upon mankind in his captivity through the fall. Just as if man is like that fish. Just as if man wants to get out of that net. Just as if man objects to the bondage that he is brought into. Just as if man desires to change his fallen state. That he says, "I do not want to be in this state of sin anymore. but I want to be delivered from it. Oh, they say, the gospel that is good news unto fallen man. Because when he will hear that gospel, then he will love that gospel, then he will rejoice at that good news that the Lord has come to save him from his bondage. He is just ready for that gospel. He is just waiting for that news that is coming to him in the Word of God. That is now a doctrine which says that mankind in the fall has not changed in and of himself. He was created good. He was created upright. But he was just caught in a net. And now when he is caught in that net, then he will still desire to come out of that net. All you need to do to deliver such a man is to take the net off of him. All you need to do to deliver that man is to release the restraint that is placed on him to do good. That is utterly unbiblical. It is an utterly false view of fallen mankind. Has mankind come under bondage indeed? Is that bondage through the snare of the devil indeed? But it is a willing bondage. In the fall, man has immediately died the spiritual death. Did he still remain a human being? Yes. But he lost the image of God. Knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. There is a change that has come in his soul. What is that, the soul? Well, that is, in the first place, his understanding. The Bible says that understanding was darkened. What does that mean? He does cannot understand things anymore? No, he can understand things. The things that he sees with his eyes and touches with his hands, can he have a real indication that this is a thing and that isn't an, and yes. Yes, man still has reasoning powers. But his understanding is darkened because he is full of prejudices. When he reasons not rightly because he desires to go in an evil way. Thus, the understanding is darkened. That is in the first place. In the second place, his affections. What has happened to his affections? They are now corrupt. They are not going out after the Lord, but they are going out after the world and after sin. Thus, the understanding is darkened, the affections are corrupted, and his will. His will is perverted. His will that is depraved, he has become to God an enemy, so that he desires and will follow after the way of Satan, instead of following after the way of God. That's a great change in his soul. Is he in bondage? Indeed. He is in a great bondage. But because there is a change in his soul, because there is spiritual death, that bondage has become a willing one. Thus, he does not view it at all as a bondage. His whole disposition, his whole being that is in agreement with the ways of Satan whom he has chosen in paradise. That means he is not as that fish seeking to escape that snare. No, but he has become very calm. Then it is good with man when he is taken as a fish in that snare, that he should continue under the rule of the devil. You say, maybe I don't think so. What is congregation when we will each take for a moment our bosom sin? Then we can ask ourselves what that is, our bosom sin. Between ourselves and the Lord, what is that? You have not to answer man, but we have now to answer the Lord. That sin that lies closest to your heart. Does your conscience ever speak when you commit that sin? Say yes, that is good if it still does. Is that nice? You say no. I wish that conscience would not speak. Well, if that is not so nice, why don't you give it up then? We do not give it up because our heart is cleaving to that sin. Because our heart loves that sin. Deep inside, then that actually is no bondage to us. God's word says that life that you have, that love that you have, that is actually a bondage. Our heart says, that is my freedom. No, then I do not seek to escape from this. The opposite. I am looking secretly. I am looking for another opportunity that may present itself, that I may do it again. I will admit that to no one. But my heart that is cleaving to that sin, and I can have many thrashings of conscience, and still I go on in that way. Why? It is because of the evil disposition of our heart, so that secretly we are looking for every little excuse that we may proceed in the way of our evil heart. Is Christ? Is the gospel such a good news to me then? Maybe. Maybe because of that conscience. Oh, if I could only receive deliverance from that conscience through that gospel, oh, then maybe yes. Oh, that gospel is to me good news. And yet my heart, do you know what it does not want to be delivered from? It does not want to be delivered from that sin itself. It does not wish to be delivered from the dominion of that sin. Christ, he says, I will deliver you from the slavery of sin. I will deliver you from that service of sin that you may serve me. And what does our heart say? Not out loud. Oh, then we say, oh, maybe young people. No, at least not now, at least not yet. No, if I would have to go in that way, would I then have to forsake the world? Would I then have to forsake every former friend? Then I have to forsake what my heart loves. Then I have to forsake the service of sin, of the world, of the devil. All my pleasures, what my soul delights in, that is no bondage to me. That is my freedom. Would I then have to live strictly according to that word of God, law of God? What does that say? It says, thou shalt. It says, thou shalt not. And I have to bring myself within all those constraints. Oh, do I have to live every day with my treasure in heaven? Looking for the time that this world will pass away with all the lust thereof. Or that would be a burden to me. No, indeed, that would not be a freedom to me. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Oh, what a change has to take place in the life of a man if he will ever be given to speak the language of Canaan. Then he needs a new heart. Then he needs to be born again. Then he needs a right spirit to be put in him. Then his views have to change concerning what is bondage and what is freedom. The psalmist praises the Lord. Thou hast loosed my bonds. But what does the natural man do? Or he would curse God. If we would take away his opportunity to sin, he would not bless the Lord. No, he would curse him. The Lord said to his disciples to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is now the prayer of that regenerated soul. But it is not the prayer. Maybe on the lips, yes. But it is not the heart prayer of that natural man. Of the children of Israel, we read that they cried to God by reason of the bondage. How is that? Was that always that they cried to God by reason of the bondage? No. No. There was many years, there was a long time that the children of Israel, they have enjoyed all the good things of that land of Egypt. But then the Lord's time came that he had spoken and promised unto Abraham that he would deliver and bring that people up again. And now in that Lord's time, the Lord's Spirit, he begins to work. And what does he do with that people? He begins to make the service which they enjoyed in that land of Egypt, he begins to make this a burden unto them. Service of Pharaoh. Oh, what a powerful work of the Lord. He will accomplish it in the life of his people. If he has to do it by touching the heart of the mightiest kings and powers in this world, He will make this world a burden unto his people. That did not happen in a day. No, first there was a new king. And then that new king, he brings them into subjection. And then he makes them to make treasure cities for him. And slowly on. Then the burdens, they are increasing in the life of that people. Until that time comes that it is unbearable for that people. And then their cry goes up unto the God of their fathers. O congregation, has sin, the service of sin and of this world, ever become to you a bondage? That is necessary. If we will ever be delivered from that burden, if it has never become a burden, it is still our delight. If it has never become a bondage to us, and then it is still our freedom. Oh, did you ever mourn over a heart that seems to be sometimes given over unto carnality? Did you ever mourn because you felt yourself a captive unto worldliness? Oh, did your heart ever weep because of the deep rootedness of sin? That you said, O Lord, it is written with a pen of iron. It is written with the point of a diamond. It is engraven upon the table of my heart. Did you ever learn to speak the language of the psalmist? And that one language of the church of God? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Lead me, O Lord, into the land of uprightness. Make my heart to fear thy name. O, this language of the heart that is necessary first. If ever we will learn to sing with the psalmist, thou hast loosed my bonds. First we must be brought into agreement with what those bonds are, before that we can desire to be delivered therefrom and rejoice in that deliverance. But let us sing first from 325, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart. That I may steadfastly obey, give me an understanding heart. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 325. What bonds, congregation, are stronger than the bonds of death? The psalmist speaks about the power of the grave. How strong that grave is, and when it is not allowing the person anymore to be delivered out of its grip. Oh, the strength of the bonds of death. They are the bonds with which Christ permitted himself to be bound while he lay in that grave. Then the enemy rejoiced. Now that he dieth, now that he is in that grave, he shall rise up no more. And yet those very bonds are the bonds that were broken by the Son of God in his resurrection. Remember, boys and girls, the story of Samson, and he was bound with green withes. And then we can read how that Samson broke those withes. He broke those bands. Just as easy as tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. Now that is a picture of the strength of that greater Samson. When he broke the bands of death in his resurrection. But what is that power that keeps a man in death? What is the strength that holds a man in the power of the grave? Paul says that the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. What does the law do? The law imputes the curse unto him that has sinned. And that curse that is as those bands which are binding a man. So as long as that curse remains, death remains. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. And what is that curse? In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. What does that mean? When we see Christ in the day of his resurrection, and he has come forth by his own power and the power of his Father, out of those bands of death, well, you say there can only be one thing. It can only be because the curse is broken. That is right. When we see death overcome, then we see that the bands of death, the bands of the curse, they are taken away, and death that has to give place to life. But where did those bands come from? They were binding him in the death. You say sin? Yes. Whose? Sin of the whole world? Cannot be. If there was the sin of the whole world, there would be no hell. No, that was the sin of his church. It is the sin of his people. The curse from that sin has bound him. And when he rose in the day of Easter, then it became evident, it became manifest that the curse that was taken away for everyone for whom that he was bound. And that is now why the psalmist, so many years before already, by way of prophecy, has cried out, "Thou hast loosed my bonds." Thou who brought that people into bondage. Say that was the snare of the devil. That is true. But it was their own work. It was their own disobedience. We are the doers of it. Do we believe that? But now to deliver ourselves out of that bondage, we can bring ourselves in. That is simple enough. But how now to bring ourselves out of that bondage? Did you ever experience that to be an impossible thing? David, he said, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." He could not deliver himself from that bondage. That was the living complaint of that old church. And it remains the living complaint of that true church of God. Thou hast loosed my bonds. That is a personal exclamation. You say, how does that take place? How does a man ever come to so speak as the psalmist, "Thou hast loosed my bonds"? Well, that can only take place under the application of the Spirit of the Lord. That is not now just an objective work. No, that has to be a subjective work. That has to take place in the heart of a man. That has to be given unto a man by the way of true saving faith. How does that happen? Well, in the first place, if the loosening of those bonds is to become personal for us, then first the bonds have to become personal for us. Thus, did we ever cry out of the bondage of our soul? But what kind of bondage? Because in the second place, by faith, our own bonds, they must become identical to those bonds that Christ delivered his church from. Thus, that bound soul, it needs to see that by a true and living faith. By nature, I do not have those bonds. By nature, I am bound by the Word of God. That is my bondage. To follow God's law is my bondage. Do I see any deliverance then in the work of Christ? That is impossible. That is not in the Word of God. Congregation, when sin becomes our bondage, oh, then it is to such that the Spirit is revealing, that he is showing in all their agony, in all their misery, in all their bondage, he is showing, revealing, opening unto the people out of his holy word what that bondage is. That Christ has delivered his church from. What does he say? He says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Whoso committeth sin is the servant of sin. Whoso committeth sin is the slave of sin. Whoso committeth sin is in bondage to sin. But if the Son shall make you free, then you shall be free indeed. Oh, did the Lord ever deliver? Did the Lord ever reveal to your soul? The Son of God, in His blessed mediatorial work in your bondage, because then you have tasted something of that freedom. Oh, then your soul, it has cried out, "Thou hast loosed my bonds." Then you have felt something in that moment, but it is to be freed from that sin. "Thou hast loosed my bonds." Is it faith then? Is it faith that looses the bonds of those who are bound? No, that is impossible. Just ask those who are bound. What is faith? Faith is a gift of God, you say, yes. But faith is the act of God? No. Faith is the act of man. It is a gift of God to His people. But the action of faith is in that church. But what does our text say? It says, "Thou hast loosed my bonds." Thus it cannot be faith. No, the Lord is loosing those bonds. And without the Lord loosing those bonds, oh faith, you can ask the people how many times they have tried to exercise faith in order that their bonds may be loosed. They find themselves in nothing but a captivity. No, without the Lord loosening our bonds, then faith cannot do anything. But faith is beholding Him, that faith that is an instrument in the hand of the Lord, by which that blessing from the Lord, the Lord's doing, that is being received. It is following faith, oh, that follows the imputation. First, the Lord, He is giving. And faith that must wait patiently for Him. It must hang on Him. But faith that also follows spontaneously. It follows then immediately upon that revelation, upon that imputation. What do we read? Faith sees and believes. That is why Bunyan said, "Goodwill gave him a pull." Oh, then it is by faith that that great blessing is received from the Lord. "Thou hast loosed my bonds. Thou hast done it." Oh, faith is rejoicing in that work of God. It is rejoicing in a power that is not its own power. It is rejoicing in a power that is from above. It is rejoicing that it may glorify and magnify a deliverer. Oh, faith beholds Him. It sees Him in His majesty. It sees Him in His greatness. It sees Him in His strength. It sees Him in His power over all of sin that is so in domination in their own life. Also, it sees Him in His goodness. It sees Him in His mercy. His affections, then they are drawn to Him. It goes out to Him in tender love, in humility, for mercy, for someone who was a willful sinner. Oh, it says through Him alone, whose presence goes before us, will wear the victor's crown, no more by foes assaulted. "Thou hast loosed my bonds." Then we taste something. What do we taste? Then we taste freedom. Freedom. Right, children? When the bonds are loosed, then you are free. That is right. And now the psalmist, he describes what that freedom is. Listen, he says, O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Oh, where have you read anything that was so mysterious, that is so paradoxical, as so much is in the life of God's true people? Because the psalmist says, thou hast loosed my bonds, and at the same time the psalmist says, I have become a servant. I have become a slave. Oh, true Lord, truly, he says, I am thy servant. I am thy slave. But children, you say those bonds, they were just loosed. He is no servant. He is no slave anymore. No. Now, it is just the opposite. He says, truly, I am thy servant. No, he does not say, I am the servant of sin. He says, I am thy servant. Oh, do you understand? To become a slave unto the Lord, that is no bondage to that people. No, it is just the opposite. This is their freedom. This is their freedom. Oh, to come under and to be a blessed servant of the Lord, that they may obey his will. Oh, in that new birth already, just as a little child of the Lord, we might say. Oh, then that desire is born. Is that in your heart too, children? A desire to live according to all the law and the statutes and the will of the Lord. That is what the Lord gives in a new heart, that I may become a slave. A slave to the Lord. And a slave to his law, that I may never disobey the law of God again. For sin, that is the transgression of the law. Do you know what James calls it? He calls it the perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of freedom. Oh, to become a slave to the perfect law of liberty. That is truly to be delivered from bondage. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? That is now what the psalmist was singing about. Thou hast loosed my bonds. And that is now the freedom, that eternal freedom of the true church of God. After they come out of that 40 years in the wilderness and they go over into that heavenly Canaan, after they have been delivered out of that land of bondage, oh, that journey, 40 years, and then more and more than it was experienced what they were, what they remained in and of themselves. The rebellion, the wickedness, all they have lusted, we read, after the leeks and the onions. All they have sometimes said, let us go back into that land of Egypt. The Lord does not allow it. It is his people. It was his promise. No, he will bring them through that wilderness. And soon they will be delivered from every fault, from every transgression, and from all disobedience. Then they will be delivered from it with all its recompense of reward into that heavenly Jerusalem, where John says, that there shall enter in nothing, there shall in no wise enter therein anything that defileth, or worketh abomination, or that maketh a lie. When this immortality shall put on mortality, and when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, then they will be delivered finally, and then they will sing. They will sing when they receive the blessed perfection in that place of glory, and when that body of sin shall be forever left behind, then they will sing, "Unto the Lord thou hast loosed my bonds." Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, grant us to see what our bondage is, for we see it not, unless thou wilt open our eyes, that it may become a burden unto us, our life in this world, this heart that is so hard, that is so wicked, that is so tied to everything that is carnal, that is so full of self. O Lord, thou knowest each and every one of us. Do make it a burden unto us, that we may find an inner place in our own place, in our own home, a place where we may pour out before thee that grief that we love thee not, that we serve thee not, that we need thee not. Oh, forgive thou, Lord, our many, many sins, and wilt thou indeed from thy own side loose our bonds. Remember thy people. Oh, give them to taste again a little of what thou hast given them by moments in this life, when they for a moment may look upon thee, when thou mayest look through the window, when thou mayest show thyself through the lattice, and when they have seen thee for a moment, the beautiful and the blessed work, the one-sided work, that work of love, given thyself to take it all away, and to give unto thy church that blessed robe of righteousness, everything included, the work finished, so that there is nothing for them any more to do but to lift up their voice and to acknowledge and praise thee, thou hast loosed my bonds. Give to experience it more and more, that they may feel and know that blessed rest that belongeth unto the people of the Lord. Oh, give it a little in this week in which we have entered, a little meditation thereon, a little of that sweetness that is coming alone by thy Spirit. Dismiss us with thy blessing, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 422, the sixth stanza. Thou art, O God, our boast, the glory of our power. Thy sovereign grace is air, our fortress and our tower. The sixth stanza of Psalter 422. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.